Ladies, gentlemen, and all sports fans of Calgary, welcome to your morning show. Sports, life, food, and everything else. This train rarely comes off the rails. We've got big guests, the best insiders, and all the breaking news you need. Boomer in the Morning starts now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's go! Don't you love a Wednesday or whatever day this is? Don't you love it?
Whatever this is,
whatever
I love it.
Whatever this day is.
I don't know what this is. This is awesome.
Love it. Feeling good.
Why? Yeah, high?
I think he is. He's been listening to something.
High on like, life, man?
Like laughing hysterically.
Oh, good for you.
In his workstation.
Dude.
I've never seen this before.
I know. Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
I fear he's been diving through the archives. He's got he's found some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Keep it to yourself, would you?
No, I don't know.
Nobody needs to hear this jolly.
No, I'll share it later.
Oh, I like that.
We'll all enjoy a little audio goodness a little bit later on in the program. As we get underway, Retro, how are you, buddy?
Not as good as you, Dean.
That's true.
Yeah, happy to be here. Yeah. Hard to keep up.
Hey, how was the Platinum Club?
It was good. It was good. Roast beef. Delicious.
Oh, roast beef. Mm.
I thought there wasn't any food at the Saddle Dome.
It's considered a restaurant, I believe.
Did you smuggle it in a Ziploc bag? Is that what you did?
It was in my boot.
In your boot? Is that roast beef in your boot?
Roast boot. Delicious.
Delicious indeed. And so you went to the game last night, Retro. Mm-hmm. So how did that, who'd you go with? What, give us some deets.
Yeah, just the brat. So, it's nice. Kid. Went to the game. They hadn't been forever. Cool.
Yeah, of course.
Last time, I haven't had Saddle Dome food in a while. Mm. Their Saddle Dome food is roast beef with gravy and the full fix.
These
are your rough and tumble, down-to-earth kids. They haven't had a pocket dog, but they eat roast beef. Jeez.
You want seconds, son? Go ahead.
Help yourself. It's
not
on me.
Something else. Not popcorn. Not ice cream. Do they have any more mashed? I do enjoy a good garlic mashed.
It's lovely.
And so you took the boy. You went to the game. I see photographic evidence, I believe, of Ryan Pinder, who was also at the game.
Yeah.
With a group of people.
I took the Aussie in-law, producer Riley, and my boy Dev from the spacesuit workout place.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a good crew.
Look at this. So all three of you went to the game last night. I'm going home. Who could provide better perspective and insight on that game last night than you three donkeys? See you later. That's why I'm so happy.
We didn't have the replays. And
you guys talked to Rob.
I'll tell you what. If you'd have had me on last night, you'd had a heck of a show. There was lots going on in the brain. But I'm tired. It's Wednesday.
Well, that's good.
Is it Wednesday? That's what it is.
I'm glad that's how that works. You had lots on the brain, but now it's empty.
Well, and we couldn't do the drinking there, so we had to do the pre and post. You know,
Ship.
I didn't do.
I got ship faced, boys.
I didn't go drinking. You don't have to drink, Ryan. That's a choice that you're making.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did the cherry porter on top? Riley, you finally tried it. Finally tried the cherry porter.
Yeah. Oh,
Riley would be just great today. He went out with Pinder. Well, this will be
so Pinder
just
was
just one pint after the game, fellows. Just one. We talked about the Pinder report, what kind of clips we're looking for.
It wasn't Blue Jays season opener.
Oh, God, no.
Last night. Yeah, that's
no, that's
for sure.
A different level. Woof. Pushing a pint per inning and then throwing in Jameson shots all over the place.
So no one was dressed up in full managerial gear.
John Gibbons was not there last night. He wasn't calling for the southpaw.
Calling for the lefty. From the
give me loop, boys. I need loop.
Yeah. So we've seen games with no fans. We've seen games with some fans. We've seen games with when it's full of fans.
Yeah.
You came in this morning, and I'll get your thoughts on it too, Warner. But Ryan, you kind of said this is
not ideal.
This is not great.
I feel for the Flames because they don't make the rules. and they're not choosing to, you know, have 6,000 to 7,000 people in there, which is, you know, a number I've heard thrown around, people trying to guess what it was. But like, that was a Sam Bennett returns home montage, top team in the NHL, the top line is buzzing, Monahan off the schneid.
Score early.
Beat the team that's in first place. Like, that would have been an amazing night, and instead it was just like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the month. I felt for Sam. Everyone had to, like, through their masks to cheer for him. I hope they do it again when he comes back.
I don't think you can. Like, they did the Luch 1,000 game, because when he hit.
Yeah, there was no fans, but, I mean, it's not that much different. It felt like there was no It certainly isn't half the atmosphere if it's half full.
No.
That's what I'll say. It's about a tenth of the atmosphere when it's half full.
It's dog shirt.
Yeah, and again, this isn't a shot at the Flames at all, because they can't control this stuff. And look, the if you want to get in and out with, hey, parking's easy. There's no, look at the traffic, no traffic at all. I can walk around anywhere. Oh, my gosh.
I do like your style, boom.
I can go to the washroom in the intermission. No sweat. Look at this.
Oh, man.
I mean, you can do that, but that place would have been buzzing last night. Right?
Yeah, it would have been.
I'm 100% in line. I was actually at the game, mad. I understand. I'm texting with Joe Vanosky. He's laughing at us. Like, he's, you know, you're texting. I asked him, Eddie, yet there? Are you traveling or what's your? No, I'm not traveling. He's watching the game at home. Okay. Why is there no one there?
Hockey market.
Half and no food and no. And he does the old LOL. And we've got packed house, no mask living. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, Ellen?
I don't know. I'm not down.
Love
with...
out loud.
Love That's, out loud. Yeah. Yeah. No, anyway, I would guess if you're living in normal circumstances and then you see this, how is it still? What's going on? How are you guys still?
I was hot. Like I said, last night, if you'd had a mic on me, probably taking me off the air.
Controversial takes.
Well,
take a tune from Rhett Warner.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bunch of
shirt.
B to the S.
Officially on the game sheet, 9,639 was the attendance.
That's what happens when you cut it in half, isn't it?
And I thought of you, Dean, and I was like, Dean would love this. And I did like having the space, but it's an apps. It's, you take your kids, it's not the same experience. It's, the sound is different. The enthusiasm's different. And you know what? It's terrible for the players.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We wonder why they're flat. Well, it's better than last year with no fans. Okay, great. It sucks. You playing in front of 5,000, 6,000 people? No good.
Well, and Lomberg was getting under people's skin, and like, there was just a good back and forth physicality and intensity to the game that a crowd can only magnify and enjoy. Exactly. Like, that was a really good game considering the atmosphere. And if you had a full place and a few pints flowing, it would have been unbelievable. We're repeating ourselves, but damn it, that was we. It felt like something was taken away that we should have had.
All right, you negative Nellies. Now, negative. Listen.
And I feel bad for Flames and the team and the ownership and the money, and they're trying to put it out there and do a product, and it's...
This isn't their choice.
No. And I was also, you know, I was maybe, what's the word, melancholy?
Were you melancholy?
Well, after your hot... Panteros, January. I remember first trip up here with the Panthers.
See
in
ya.
January. Freezing your tuchus.
Same Family's thing. There, hey? Yeah.
No, are you talking about your first trip or this
is
Florida?
And that was probably how many fans were in the building my first trip.
Yeah, no. probably about the same. Yeah.
It wasn't
96?
Mid to late 90s.
Yeah. Was not the salad days that we saw in the mid 2000s. Anyway, there was a game played. You guys were there. Is it safe to say that was the most 2021/2022 style of Daryl Sutter Flames hockey that we've seen in many, many games?
That was the blueprint, wasn't it?
I went back and I looked this morning. Sorry, Retro. I looked back. I think November 29th against Pittsburgh. Limited the shots. Won the game. Frustrated the opponent. Because even the games where they won in Anaheim and LA outshot them and there were chances... This has been a long time coming, getting back to this point. I'm sure if you talk to anybody on the Florida side, they will tell you, we were not very good tonight. Because they did not look themselves. But at the
it's
same
kind of
time...
Kind of been them on the road all year, though.
Yeah, they have not been a good
team. Three regulation wins on the road. That's probably only, I'd think, what, Montreal, Arizona be worse than that?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
I look back to that game in... Because you weren't there the next morning, but Rhett and I were talking about it after the Lightning beat the Flames 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You have one team that plays pretty well. The other team doesn't play pretty well. That's how you get lopsided scores. That's what you saw last night. Flames played pretty well. The other team wasn't on their game. 5-1, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, and for the people that thought that, you know, Southeast Swing really, oh, well, there it is. Here's the truth about the Flames. Well, they've split with Florida. Like, that's the best team in the league. All right.
Got one out
you
of
should have You should have split with Carolina. You had three goals swept off the goal line. Like, this is not a bad team, and what you saw last night is exactly how Daryl wants things to go. Score early, check hard, make life easier for your goalie, definitely get some saves because there's going to be a few mishaps. And then, the special teams came to life, and you got to come off the schneid. It's not bad either.
Yeah, you need a few ingredients to win a game like that, and you got them. You scored first, you scored early. You got a lot out of your top line. You got the saves, power play, secondary scoring, you got it all.
Yeah.
So if you can just get that every night, you'd be in pretty good
shape. Well, they didn't need five last night. But they did. That's the other thing, right? Like, that's why they won by four, because they got all those things.
Yeah.
But what it really was a departure from the last four, five, six games you've seen, whatever it's been since the COVID Christmas, because that's the tightest defensively they've played since then. Certainly when you factor in the opponent. Like, the last time they played Florida, I think they had 73 shot attempts. That was not the case last night.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't perfect either.
No, and they needed some saves early. They got them, but, I mean, God, that's stark in contrast to the one that was on Jan 4 or whatever you were saying.
Yeah, number one team in the league.
Yeah.
Right?
So you take those points. That's a good victory.
Shots were 49-45 2 weeks ago. Last night, 31-29.
And that's playing the game on your terms, not Florida's.
100%. You keep the Panthers under 30 shots, you'll take that. Four goals a game? Because that's what they had been
clipping
at.
It'd been four or more for nine games in a row, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Johnny Gaudreau on a heater.
Still, hey? So all year?
I don't think you call it a heater. I think it's having a
four assists. Yeah, four assist night that ties his career high for points in a game. He has six in his last three, 14 in his last eight. Mm. The line combines for 9 points?
He Lindholm
8 points.
To Kachuk.
Yeah. And Lindholm, you think back to that first goal where he wins the draw. Gaudreau gets it to Kachuk. Was that the basically had the fourth assist. Anyway, he was very good last night. Had that breakaway chance. He wanted the penalty on Forsling, didn't get it, but he was.
Yeah, I thought that could have been called.
Probably could have been called.
Definitely impeded the chance, but the game was out of hand at that point. Kind of. I didn't. The whistles went away a bit, and that's not the worst thing when it's 4-1 or 5-1. I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You got some bounces. There's a lot of nights where that Kachuk goal probably isn't going to go in. When it's a waist-high sauce in the slot
nice
from
tip,
behind
but it's
you,
not,
right?
It's not always. Yeah.
You know, you get a little bit of good fortune there. And maybe the Coleman, you're trying to go through the crease to get the pass back. Door goes off the goalie or whatever, it ended up hitting and goes in.
They had him scrambling there. So.
This might not be one that gets their old bobber if he's in net.
Well, maybe. Hard to say.
Spencer Knight's had a tough year. Last year, real good. In limited work. Drieger was fantastic for them. Bob was dog shirt. And tables have turned. The $10 million goalie's actually earning some of his dough this year. And
not much he could have done last night, though. The Anderson is off of a rebound.
I'm talking less about last night and more about the season that Spencer Knight's having. That's the kind of night he's been having a lot of, where he hasn't been awful, but boy, there's 4 or 5 on the board. Like, the numbers aren't pretty at all. Yeah. This is not what we expected after what we saw last year.
And on the other side, Jacob Markstrom made some big saves. Wasn't overly busy, but there were some, what do they call, the high danger chances. That save that he made, and because you guys were at the game, you may not have seen, I don't know how that puck doesn't go in when Sam Reinhart has it at the side of the net. It's under it's on the goal line, it's right there, and it feels like it's one of those games where, or one of those plays where Markstrom, his weight's got to be on his right side, and he's hanging his left leg out. Mm. How Reinhart doesn't manage to push that in, I don't know, but he made some big saves. They had the one Barkov comes in, wires the puck, misses the net by a hair. Around it goes, and goal for the Calgary Flames. This is a big one, if only for their mental
psyche, baby.
Right? Because you go through the East, you lose 3 in 4 days. The Florida one was tough. The Tampa Bay. So you got beat 3 times pretty soundly in 4 days. You come home, then you're off for 5 days to sit and stew about it.
Yeah.
And hear about everybody is using this as a measuring stick and you can't compete with the top teams in the league. And what are you? Then you get back on the ice against Ottawa and you lose this game to one of the worst teams with the worst records in the National Hockey League. And then you sit for 4 days. If you lose last night, then we're talking about a 5-game skid.
And weeks.
You sit for three more, and then it's the Oilers coming in, and they're in a bad way as well. Retro, you've played those, you've been in those stretches where you lose and then you sit. That would have been a hard one to take last night. You could have played very well and still lost against a team like Florida. But if you lose and go 5 straight and then sit for a few more days, can you imagine? Because you're not going out. It's not as locked down as it was before, but you're not doing a whole lot. I'm guessing the Flames, probably they're issuing to the players, please don't go out and, no nightlife. Don't go dancing on your days off.
Dance floor, two-stepping.
So you're probably sick of just sitting at home and then stewing on a 5-game skid. Everybody feels good about that last night because I think everybody contributed to that win.
Well, and I think it's easier to buy in again to, hey.
Good point.
We know what we're doing here. When you continue to lose, it's tough to buy in. When you're winning, it's, oh, yeah. And that was a back-to-who-we-are type performance from them.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of passenger.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, like they... Absolutely. The fourth line. I don't think everyone, like a fourth again, line. You got goals from a third line. Away you go.
It might not be a perfect game, but rarely are they. And you can, 5-1 against the best team in the league in a situation where the coach has kind of called you out. I think that's answering the bell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we'll it be, called them out.
We'll be
that
emotionally
much,
engaged on Tuesday. It was something in the tone of Tkachuk, what he said last week after the Ottawa loss. Yeah, they were.
And I did like, they're a tough team.
They are. They're a lot tougher than they've been in a couple of years. Right? It's not a long time.
And tough, and not dumb tough, where guys can't play, but it's like Florida wanted to change, and Lomberg goes out and tries to run around a little bit, and it started to get some emotion in it. And the fact that you can get Branson and even Zadorov, Lucic, you beat it, bud. Like, Gudbranson goes after him and says, you want to run around? I'm right here. I will smack you around if you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that part of it. I did.
Yeah.
I actually liked Huberdeau answering.
He showed some mustard, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. And you know what?
He's hidden in that market, man.
I didn't see that in his game.
No.
Years ago.
I thought,
some bite there.
But he went. He was into it with Coleman in that game, two weeks ago. He was in it again last night because he went after Mangiapane during that change. Yep. They showed the replay. He's instigating. He's pissed off. They're losing. They're on the road. There's more bite there, and whether that's because he's on playing with Sam Bennett, I don't know. But either way,
it's because we don't
so
see him.
Much to like, right? So much to like about Huberdeau.
Sorry, go ahead, Rhett.
I thought it was interesting, and I don't know if you could hear it from where you were sitting, but because there's not many people, and you could kind of hear. Anyway, from where I was sitting, I could hear the Panthers bench, like, screaming.
A lot of F-bombs in the
first period. Let's go here. Yeah. Like, waked up. Now, I don't know who's saying it, and it's not. But I like the fact that they're calling on each other. I mean, it's a completely off-topic thing, but I did notice, and I like that, because teams that do that, I mean, that says a lot. They're like, hey, we're not on our game here. Let's go. And that's not the coach screaming, because he's got the mask on. He wouldn't be able to hear it.
Mm.
That's players calling each other. Let's pick it up here, pick it up. Now, the Flames were playing well, and that didn't change anything. But I did think it was interesting, and maybe it happens more, and you just can't hear it because of the crowds, but... For that team, I think that's a good team there. I think that they've got the right makeup. And usually if guys are calling each other out, that's better than coaches calling each other out.
So a couple things. Like, back to Huberto real quick. Like, there are a lot of Olympic ghost rosters that he'd be on a line with McKinnon and McDavid. That's the sphere he's in. And your second line would be like a Pasternak, Marchand, Crosby. Or sorry, not Pasternak, Bergeron, Marchand, Crosby. Like, that is the class that he's in. It's just he's in Florida, man. If this guy's in Montreal, he's a bleeping star. He's on on every intermission. He's in commercials. Like, it's just he's in the wrong market to be a hockey superstar. Sorry.
I think he's in the exact right market.
For him, yeah. Not for, you know, people in Western Canada to be raving about his game because you just don't see them ever. And you're going to see more of them because they're good and they're going to be in the playoffs. And then secondly, now that the Flames are done the season series with this team, like, if you want to adopt a team in the East that's fun, like, just go check in on this team. There's nobody more fun to watch in the NHL than these guys.
And they're going to add.
Of course they are. They'll add a D-man.
They are. They are. This is I know on Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts. He's like, this is an all-in season. They're in. They're going.
Well, and Huberto's at, what, $5.9 million for one more year?
Next year, $5.9 million.
And then he's going to have to jump into double digits. He's that good. He's going to be a 10-plus guy probably. So here's your window. Take a cut. And that rivalry with Tampa is the best in hockey right now. They were scrapping in Orlando in the preseason. They hate each other. You can see Coleman's investment in it just from what's happened the last couple of years. They had an incredible series last year. And that division's nuts because you're going to have those two teams, Toronto and Boston, all squaring off in the first round.
I know.
It's wild.
Almost unfair in a way, but I'm with you. I can watch.
Like, we'll adopt those guys. And would you cheer for Sam Bennett in the playoffs on the other side of the bracket? You're damn right you would.
Yeah, you would.
It didn't go the way he or Flames fans wanted, but you respected the player, and he's a good human. Good to see him score. Easy money.
And, thanks for the free 20. Yeah. Appreciate that, Sam. Attaboy. Yeah. Hands up, everyone who won on the Sam Bennett goal last night.
Yeah, threw it on the Twitter. Yeah. There was a few dozen people. Everyone posting screenshots.
What is it about that where feels like any time somebody that just played for the Flames, they've traded, let them go, comes and scores?
I don't know.
Gio did it this year.
Oh, dude, Dougie would have, like, goals and assists every time he came through. That was with Carolina first and now elsewhere, but... It's the former guys, for whatever reason, they're comfy in the dome. But it was the only goal they got last night, so that's a win-win for everyone. You get to, all right, salute Sam, and it didn't cost you 2 points if you're a Flames fan.
Just looking at Florida for a moment, they're going to add. They don't have a first-rounder, I see, this year, or a second-rounder.
I think the second was in the swap for Reinhardt. Does that make sense?
Probably would be. I'll take a look here. But
the second is for Bennett. And the first might be for Reinhardt then. I'm trying to think where else they would have moved the first.
Yeah, it was Sam Reinhardt.
No, there you go. Two nice little lads. A couple Sams there that know what they're doing. Yeah, that was not them at their best, but you take those points.
No, I mean, Barkov was involved, but not...
Not dominant. Not
you can see he plays a lot of hockey. He's smart, good. They didn't seem quite on.
And you know what he is? He's strong like bull.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He is strong like bull.
They'll add a top 4D, you think, eh?
Yeah.
Just as, you know, Tampa last year, they added, David Savard, and in years prior, they've added guys that are top 4 elsewhere that, you know, might play third pair there.
Ekblad's a pretty good player.
He is, and they lost him last year, remember?
Yeah.
So kind of how they found Forsling, which is a nice little whoopsies, but they almost beat Tampa without Ekblad, if I'm correct. Mm. That would have been something.
So for the Flames, they take the victory. They'll love every minute of it and get ready for the Oilers, who are, I don't know what they are. We're going to talk to Mark Spector coming up.
Well, they're pissy.
In about an hour. Yeah, somebody is. A few of them, at least, are accused of being pissy. We'll talk to Mark Spector coming up at about 7:35 or so. What is it, 12 of 14 they've lost now?
It's ugly.
They've been losing a lot, Dean.
Yeah.
Well, and
a lot. Mm-hmm. Technical.
You know how I fall in on the our friends to the north there.
Like you?
Yeah.
Big supporter, yeah.
Yeah.
We know.
You know, and they're our neighbors. We're good neighbors. But when they were winning, it was very unsustainable in the sense that at 5-on-5, they were getting outchanced. They were living on a 50% power play, which will never happen over the course of a full season. It only had one direction to go, and it's still a very good one, but it's not going to be at 50 for the full year. And you just wondered, what can you count on in net and with that old blue line? All those issues are there, but the 50% power play is gone, and like it looks like a team that needs to rethink how you build a roster.
But it's swung the other way. Now their shooting percentage in that has gone so far south.
Of course, they're not due to win 2 out of 14 or whatever it is. They're better than that, but they look like a team that, you know, is a 500-ish hockey club. And that's insane given you know, the cap space they had this summer, the two superstars they have. I get it. Not everyone wants to go to Edmonton, but it's kind of the chicken and the egg. If you're winning in Edmonton, people will come to Edmonton. People will go anywhere if they have a chance to win.
So where are they right now? 2, 4, 6, 8, 11th points percentage-wise in the West? Striking Yikes. Distance and all of that, but still.
But that is not where their expectations are. That, like, for them to be in the same neighborhood as Calgary, is like, it doesn't matter. The expectations for these clubs were so different.
You can't have the best player in the world and two of them.
Yes.
We talked about how bad the California teams were going to be. L.A., San Jose, and Anaheim, all with higher points percentage.
Yeah, and I don't know that any of those teams can get in another division necessarily. They're not bad teams. They're okay. But how are those teams, like, significantly better than you at this point?
Well, goaltending. The answer.
And so a 2-year deal to Mike Smith was the answer. Didn't see that coming.
You think of the deals that you make that blow up in your face, and sometimes it's the deals you don't make, and it involves both teams. You think of where the Flames would be, what would the Flames look like without Jacob Markstrom? What would the Oilers look like with Jacob Markstrom?
Nazem Kadri's another one. We played that game earlier this week.
It'd be a little bit different.
They've been rumored around Darcy Kuemper for a couple off seasons, but not that he's been sensational in Colorado.
See, he hurt again?
He got hit
in the game the other day, left.
Francois was in for the victory the other day. But it's just, there can't be that kind of money spent for those results. They're not spending a different amount than the Flames are in net, which is crazy. Because you got, what, Smith at 2.2, 4.5 for Koskinen?
Yeah,
that's a really, really similar number to what Markstrom plus Vladar is. And boy, the results aren't close.
We'll talk to Speck coming up in the next hour. Rob Ray, we're going to get, I love listening to Rhett and Rob. We'll get, Rhett's going to turn his volume up. He's going to be very excited to talk to Rob because Rob can be a little mumbly.
Why don't they call him Bob?
He can be a bit of a mumbler, but looking for, and this one is almost a, how you feeling about your Buffalo Bills? How's the city of Buffalo feeling right now? About the Buffalo, but how drunk is everyone going to be on Sunday night when they stroll into Arrowhead? And a lot of love right now. I don't know if the lines moved, but a lot of people
are a full point. Nothing's moved more out of the four games.
Is that right?
I know that it was a day later because the Rams played Monday night, but since the lines came out, they've moved a full point. One other game's moved a half. There's a lot of mo on the Buffalo side.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Robert coming up in the 8. When we come back, the Pinder Report, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're locked on Boomer in the Morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Here in the Iconic Downtown Studios, we are powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Currently hiring fully ticketed trades people to fill all roles. Learn more about job opportunities at iconicec.ca/careers. Careers. Rob Ray, Buffalo Sabre great, going to join us in the 8. Sabres got a win last night. Mark Jankowski.
Janko, baby.
GWG.
10 years later, you look back at that draft class, I tell you what. He sure might be in the league.
In about an hour, we'll talk to Mark Spector. A lot of attention being paid to the Edmonton Oilers and their plight right now. We'll talk to Speck about it. How do you get out of it if you're the Oilers? Is there a trade? Is there a firing? Do we just everybody pull up their socks? We'll talk to Speck about that. And a little something I look forward to sharing with the class, sharing with the listeners, sharing with
nervous.
You boys.
You've been laughing very, very hard.
No, nothing to be nervous about. You will enjoy every minute of it. Yeah, and I'm that sincere.
That's
it's
probably what your eye doctor says to you when you're in for your 13th lasering.
Now,
nothing to worry about. You're going to be just fine and nothing to worry about.
Like,
don't worry about it.
Like most things we do, there will be some that will be thrown under the bus, but Rhett, a little bit. Riley, not at all. And you, not at all. You will enjoy it, for sure. This I know.
All right.
So that's coming up just after 7. But right now, let's get into the Pinder Report, and it's brought to you by Motorworks. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility. They are going to meet and beat all competitors' quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, par. 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Fellas, we started the Scotiabank Saddledome where it was the Sam Bennett Bowl, the Flames hosting the Panteros in front of some sober people. Woof. But a good start for the Flames, Dean.
Here's Anderson, a shot, stop, rebound. He scores! Rasmus Anderson slaps the puck out of the Panthers' net and rips the monkey off his back. The Flames strike first. They strike hard. They score a power play goal to take a 1-0 lead.
There was some ripping. There was some striping and stripping and...
That would feel good, hey, Rhett?
Less than 5 minutes in, there you go.
You're not expected for offense, but you get one. Big game at home. Open the scoring. D scoring. Top
sniping.
Shelf. Yeah.
I feel like he's on the first power play. Maybe he should be expected a little bit.
Perhaps.
Anyway, it was on the power
play. Still would feel good. I think he was happy to have it. Looked like it.
I think they'll keep it. Not going to give back. That made it 1-0. You know who loves playing the Panthers, guys?
Now he finds Mangiapane off a skate. Coleman shoots and scores! Blake Coleman bounces the puck off a skate and into the Panthers' net. And the Flames have taken a 2-0 lead.
They sure had. That came at 11:36 at even strength. Coleman had a career-high 12 shots against the Panthers in that game 3 weeks ago. That was wild. And, yeah, you could tell he's emotionally cranked when he plays these guys, his old rivals from the Battle of Florida.
Guy carries a grudge.
Yeah, I mean, it.
Come on, cold dog. You gotta let him let it go.
Leave it be. That's come fine. On. It's only twice a year. I'm not worried about him burning out until they move the Flames to Houston or something. I mean, then it might be same division.
What are you doing?
I'm kidding. That won't happen ever. 2-0 after 20 for the Calgary Flames, and just like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west.
North.
Former Flames will return to the Saddledome and score against the team they played for prior.
You can count on few things that are consistent. The sun will be blue tomorrow. The sun rises in the east. It sets in the west.
Nice. All that.
Here's Verhaeghe with a shot off the post. Rebound. And Marchman can't center. And now Bennett scores. Former Flame Sam Bennett.
Is that right?
Scores in his return to Calgary and gets the Panthers on the scoreboard. They've cut their deficit in half. 2-1.
Yeah, next goal felt huge because it probably was going to be huge. And the Flames got a power play after pizza man Frank Vetrano went to the box for cross-checking, Dean. And it only took moments for the Flames to capitalize.
Comes on the face-off. Gaudreau shoots and scores! Flames win the offensive zone face-off cleanly. Mm-hmm. And from the left point, Johnny Gaudreau puts the puck on net. Sean Monahan may have tipped it in. Mm-hmm. The Flames score their second power play goal of the game and take a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, 3-1 through 40. By the way, my kids are going to be so jacked today when I tell them TNT's the goal song. They love TNT, favorite song.
Well, it's good. That's good parenting.
It is.
That's what that is. Well done.
Lock up your wife, lock up your daughter, lock the back door, and run for your life. TNT.
That's right.
The man's back in town. Okay, we'll move along. Third period. Top line was buzzing. They look good. They close things out.
Off the right wing side, he stops and drops Lindholm in front. Kachuk scores! Incredible hand-eye coordination by Matthew Kachuk. Kachuk
that,
back to Gaudreau in front. Monahan dangles in and scores! Sean Monahan scores his second goal of the game and gives the Flames a 5-1 lead.
He did that. Two goals. First multi-goal game of the season. That is a good thing to see. Lines kind of juggled a little. They had him with Dubé and Lucic as the third line and had Mangiapane back with Backlund and Coleman. You got goals from both those lines. Take it. Yeah.
Two goals, good. 6 points in his last 8 games.
Keep her going, buddy.
Come on now.
That's good. Let's hear from Daryl post-game when asked about how things look from his vantage point.
Our power play hadn't been very sharp lately. It was really good. Obviously, they scored quick, 2 quick goals, meaning not very far into power plays, which is really important. I think our penalty kill at the start of the 4-on-3, the second period, was a critical point against a team like that. And I thought Markey was really solid for us, but he needed that too.
That's a good point, right? You forget about that 4-on-3.
Oh, yeah, that was a big, absolutely.
Like this
this is no bueno.
Because it was, what was it, Tkachuk and who else went off there for unsportsmanlike, Huberdeau. Then a penalty, all of a sudden 4-3. This feels like a very big advantage.
Yeah, this is way scarier than a 5-on-4.
Yeah.
Especially with Florida and the things they've been
sipping
doing offensively. Maybe they will get to 9 tonight if they start here. Well, they didn't.
Minute 13, a 4-on-3. They managed to dodge it.
Well done, gentlemen. Daryl was also asked about the emotional level of the club, given that he had, you know, gone out of his way to talk about the emotion not being where it needed to be after the Ottawa loss.
Won the game.
Okay, so that's all he had to say on emotion.
He's not emotional.
No, he's not going to let emotions get the best of him.
Classic Sutter, like 20-second question, emotion. Now, what did you think of it?
It's funny, eh? Play with emotion.
Won the game.
Now,
won the game.
Here's the question now. We're on the radio. We don't have the luxury of video or whatever. I don't know what Daryl looked like. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance maybe he was choked up? Do you think he was emotional and that's all he could muster?
No. But so, let's listen one more time. So,
run the game.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I think he was kind of.
Yeah, he was hard trying to keep it together.
He was very getting choked up.
Hard, deep breath there. Won the game.
Okay.
Run the game.
Mm-hmm. The win moves the club into a tie for top spot in the division, believe it or not.
What?
600 points percentage, just like Vegas. Now, the games played are certainly not even, but all of a sudden, it's looking like that was a good time to get right against Florida, while the rest of the divisions had a bit of a scuffle. Kings get blown out in back-to-back games. Ducks are on a skid. And we'll talk about Edmonton later. We're coming to town on Saturday. That's next action for the Flames. Let's get to some other action around the league. Riley! Yeah. Overtime needed between the Winnipegs and Washingtons.
Kuznetsov with some speed, takes a look, puts a move on, can't get the shot away. In front for Wilson, he scores! Wilson with the overtime winner! They finally did it in overtime! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Winnipeg!
Yeah, good night to you as well.
Settle down.
Ovi buried his league-leading 27th goal. He's on pace for 55, Red.
Leads league in points, leads league
55.
In goals.
55.
50, just 55.
Passed Mike Modano into 24th all-time in points.
And that now, I believe, 9 back of Yags, who 10, you noted a little slow.
Nine, yeah.
Well, it depends if passing or tying. Yeah. But yeah, it'd be.
Yeah, 10, I mean, Jágr never fleet of foot, right? I probably Hall of Fame. Yogs?
We'll wait and see, I guess, eh? Yeah. Buffalo and Ottawa.
Granstrom was the one. The play goes on here. My goodness. Score. Oh, boy. The play continued on here,
Oh, dear.
That is some good stuff. No, thank you.
That is the Ottawa call of the Mark Jankowski goal.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Score.
See, maybe he's at home. Maybe he's in a studio. He's not in the building. Hard to see.
It's in Ottawa. I don't
was
think
it?
That's,
oh.
2 points for Alex Tuch. He's got 7 games under his belt for the Sabres already?
Yes, he does.
I know we're going to chat lots of things with Rob Ray. I do want to squeeze in an Alex Tuch question at the end after the non-hawk.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, and so if you got fantasy, you know what you need to do.
Pick him up!
That's right. There you go. Should be picked up already if you're in a good league. Islanders, Flyers needed the shootout.
Wallstrom, in alone on Carter Hart, slows it down, shoots and scores! Wally has the winner in the bottom of the ninth! And the Islanders beat the Flyers by the final score of 4-3!
Now, if you're saying, boy, that guy who's always wound up too tight sounds even more wound up than usual. There was 9 rounds of the shootout.
Bottom
every
the ninth.
Single yeah. attempt had been stopped.
Oh, wow!
Right? I mean, how could
Woo!
You not?
Philadelphia has been in 4 shootouts. They're 0-4. They've not scored a shootout goal.
Oh, dear. And 9 attempts last night? That's a lot of not scoring.
14 shooters, 0 goals.
Canes, Bruins last night.
To Svechnikov. Oh, he fanned on the puck. Follow from Aho. Omar. Two-pad save and a follow-up from Vincent. And the Canes have struck on the power play. Back-breaking goal if it hadn't happened already.
Svechnikov at that point.
Was the 7-1 goal. Back-breaking.
Yeah. So that broke the camel's back, hey? That 7-1 goal.
You know, remember Torts in Columbus the other year? You know, that 8th goal. It's going to sound silly saying it. Really took the wind out of our sails.
Yeah.
That spoiled Willie O'Ree night. His number 22 went to the Raptors in Boston. A pair for Kotkaniemi. 3 points for Slavin. All right. Carolina's still good. 7-1 over the Bruins. Tuukka Rask got aerated for 5.
They have scored... What did I see here? They've scored 6 or more goals 7 times this season.
That's Florida-esque.
36 games they've played and have been 6 or more 7 of those. That's good. Yeah. Well done.
Canucks and Predators.
The Canucks are back on the power play, brought to you by Play Now Sports, as they get a shot left wing. Scores. Brock Besser in front. JT Miller threw it to the net, and Besser tips it home past Dave Riddick.
Yeah.
Dave.
Big.
Need to save Dave.
Big pads Dave. That's what they call him.
Fat.
10-3-1 under Bruce Boudreau.
Brock Besser.
That's right, yeah.
Now, are you at all happy for Bruce and the Canucks?
Of course. How could you not be?
It's weird. It would take Bruce Boudreau to kind of, it's all right for the Canucks, I guess.
How can you not love Gabby?
You know.
And I was always like, why isn't this guy's name getting brought up? You know, we've seen,
I know.
It feels like 10 guys hired since he was last in the league. You're like, why ahead of Bruce? Why?
Mike, yo.
Yo! Montreal
Mike,
and Dallas.
Yo, come on.
What? What?
He's been hired.
He's not hired. He just wasn't fired.
Flyers have lost 9 in a row. It's no big deal. Yeah. Nothing to see here. No, moving on.
They don't need
make a coaching change. Bring in some emotion. Oh, boy.
Habs in Dallas, boys.
Battles with him. The puck bounces away, and there's a breakaway coming, and it's Dvorak, and he's got Dauphin with him. Dvorak into the backhand, scores! Christian Dvorak with a beautiful finish. He's got 2, and the Canadiens are up 4-1.
He did have 2. That's a pair. And Dikembe Mutombo, 48 saves in net on 51 shots.
I was going to say, do you see the shot clock? 51-22, wow. And you lose.
First win in over a month. That's a 6-game skid with a ton of cancellations for the Habs. And finally, Tampa out west in L.A., where we got quite the Norris race this year, guys. I know it's the same names as last year, but this year they're actually all really, really good. And oh, here's a guy that's going to get a lot of votes.
Kucherov wins it. High slide to Hedman. Open. Hedman shoots. Score! Hedman! What a pass from Kucherov! Hedman has made it 4-3 Lightning.
2 in the night for Hedman.
That's his most normal call of all time.
Yes, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Tampa Bay?
It's not a compliment.
Shorthanded due to COVID. They had 12 forwards and 4 D last night.
He played 32-37.
That's all.
Did Hedman. Just. Oh, and chipped in with, what, 2 goals
and
a helper?
2 goals and a helper, yeah.
He, Fox, and Makar. Can you give out 3 Norris?
Yeah, 2 of those guys are losing. 2 that's of those guys aren't winning a Norris.
Unbelievable. 3 games tonight. Let's take a look.
All right.
The Yotes are playing the Devils.
That's a lovely accent you have. New Jersey?
It is in New Jersey.
Austria.
Austria! Well then, good day, mate.
Toronto, New York.
It's perfect for cold nights filled with warm conversation and just.
It is a cold night, warm conversation.
Yeah.
Huddle up around Sportsnet West at 5:30 for the blue shirts and the blue leaves.
Yeah, that's right.
The Leafs. And original 7.
Tonight, Austin Matthews can tie a record. He has goals in 10 straight road games.
Crazy.
Can tie Pavel Bure and Steve Yzerman if he gets 11.
Ooh, those guys could they could shoot it a bit, huh?
I mean, debatable. Much like Jagr, it was a different era.
Colorado, Anaheim will wrap it tonight.
Hey, Getsy, Dr. Phil called. He wants his haircut back.
That's on 360. Sports on 360 at 8.
Yeah.
Why are you shaking your head? Are you embarrassed at the work that you've given to the world?
No, it's...
Are you sure you're not a little bit embarrassed, a little sheepish?
It's that it's out there for all to... I mean, we could sit in here quietly amongst ourselves and listen to it and have a chuckle.
Uh-huh.
But now that we're in 2022, the world we're living in, and taking shots at Dr. Phil and Getzlaff about being bald...
I feel like they're both doing okay.
Think?
I don't know about Dr. Phil. I think Getzy's doing all right. Other NHL news. Hey, the Habs got a brand new GM. Here's Eric Engels of Sportsnet on Kent Hughes being the man that'll work directly under Jeff Gorton.
You have one side that's super excited about it. You have another saying this is an Anglophone name in a franchise where we believe there should be a lot more Francophone presence. What's clear is that Kent Hughes is perfectly bilingual, and he'll help prove that to everybody tomorrow when he speaks. You know, it's not normally in the public eye and not normally a guy that you hear from often, if at all, unless you know him. And so it's going to be an interesting public introduction for him. And he better get used to that. He better get used to that polarity in the Montreal marketplace, because whatever he does from this day moving forward in this role, half the people are either going to love it or hate it, and there will be a very small percentage in between that thinks about it pragmatically and logically.
Yeah, welcome to Montreal.
That's rational, yeah.
And again, new GM, not, hey, what? Tell us about him. It's, what about his language skills?
Does he speak our language? Yay! Boo! Guy hasn't done a thing yet.
Nothing yet. Someone was pointing out, though, he has won as many rounds in the playoffs as the Leafs administration in the last 4 years. Elsewhere in the NHL, final adds to the All-Star rosters were made. Fans were given a chance to vote in one player for each division. Final adds look like this. Troy Terry in the Pacific. He's had a monster year.
Boy, Terry.
In the Atlantic, Jake Gensel.
Gensel?
Been very good.
Hot right now.
Speaking of hot, Nazem Kadri will represent the Central Division as the last man in. And why not? He's what? Last time we checked, fifth in league scoring?
Yeah, you figure?
Whew.
You figure?
Fifth. And then in the Metro, Steven Stamkos. You may have heard of him.
Sixth in league scoring.
Right. So he should go too then. Also in the NHL, we're expecting a schedule drop today. Oh. Our very own Patrick Steinberg reporting. 7 of the 8 home games that have been postponed will be slotted into that Olympic break in February, another in March, and 2 road games likely to pop up in April.
All right.
We'll find out today what those dates are. Get ready to rock.
Let's play that hockey.
Do that, yeah.
Let's do that hockey thing.
There you go. Other NHL news and notes. They'll stop testing asymptomatic players post-All-Star break. No testing over the break, one test rejoining their clubs, and then only testing when crossing borders or for players showing symptoms. So that seems logical given how many players have already had the virus and should be immune for a while.
I'd really like to dig into this topic and spend a lot of time talking about
it. I think we should move
it.
On, and I'm sorry. You know something we should dig into, though? Have you seen what's going on in Edmonton between that media, usually really strong arms and shoulders and carrying such great work that they write. 2 wins since December 1st. That's a 14-game stretch. And here's Jim Matheson and Leon Draisaitl holding hands, singing Kumbaya.
Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
That was the end. We'll get to the other parts.
That's not later. You got to play the best part.
It's the taste.
We do the taste later.
Well, you got to do it here. You got to play it.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
All
not
right.
A very good one.
Okay.
Communications guys are looking at his phone, not paying attention. That went a little longer than you'd like.
Yeah, as soon as the pissies drop there, you got to get him out of there, right?
Yeah, it's probably time. We're probably done here. Wow.
Can dive into that.
Now, who's
we don't have
there?
Time. We'll assess later.
We're already late. We'll dive in. We'll take a little.
That's right.
A little more details collected.
Mark Spector coming up.
NFL news, fellows. Did you see Dak Prescott apologizing to the officials for things he said post game? Of course, they tried to spot the ball and snap it after they ran a QB sneak with no timeouts and less than 15 seconds left in the game. Genius stuff. Fans were throwing garbage at the officials, and Dak had a comment that essentially said, well, yeah, and I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. It was hot. It was not out of context. Really, I'm just sorry. Can I take that back?
Really flew off the handle.
Dean, can I take it back,
yes,
please?
Yeah, okay, Dak, you can take it back.
Thank you. Reminder, your Saturday slate, Cincinnati at Tennessee. Line's still 3.5. Saturday at 6:15, San Fran at Green Bay. Touchdown. The line's moving towards Green Bay. It was -5.5. Now it's -6.
Oh.
So some money coming in on the old pack, and why not? They heard Brunt yesterday on our show, so they're moving money towards the Packers.
Right.
Brunt moves lines. Sunday, Rams and Tampa Bay. It is Bucks favored by 3 at a 1 p.m. kickoff. And the 4:30 slot has Buffalo at Kansas City. That's now a 1.5-point spread, Rhett. It was 2.5 to start. A lot of money coming in on your Bills.
The Bills are going to just get your money on them now.
I got them at 2.5. So
good for you.
I'm going to tell my kids, you know, I was really proud of you when you graduated high school, but I did get the Bills at 2.5 back in 2022.
Yeah, what a run.
So, you know, you're not the best thing that's happened to me, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
No. Raptors, let's go there quick. They'll play the Mavericks tonight in Dallas. Sportsnet 1 at 6:30. They'll tell you all kinds of things about the Raptors. Who has the ball? Whether it's an East Side 3 and the Dimes, a lot of Dimes.
That's
Dimes.
What they're going to do. They're going to tell you who has the ball.
Well, they'll mention the name of the player that has the ball. And then if it goes through the hoop, they'll say something like, it's good, or count it. And if it misses, then they'll be talking about rebounds, just to help you a little.
And then who got the rebounds, because he will then have the ball.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll play music during the game, which is unreal.
It is.
I think they stole that from the Roughnecks. It's a great idea. Australian Open, let's go there.
Denis Shapovalov.
Yeah, speaking of Shapovalov, rallied from down 2-1 to survive a scare and beat Sunwoo Kwon of Korea. 4 hours and 26 minutes? It's a marathon. The Canadian moves on to the third round, where he faces 6'11" American Riley Opelka, who apparently can't play in the NBA.
He's a pelican?
Opelka. Opelka for the Pelicans.
The long legs,
been a
thing. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Does he serve on one leg or two?
He can hold more in his beak than his belly can. That's all I know. That's a 5 o'clock tonight-ish.
That's a huge bitch!
For Opelka and Chaval.
It's a big pelican.
Oje Aliassime in action tonight against an unseeded Spaniard. And that... The Pender Report.
And it's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility. They will meet and beat all competitors' quotes. It's 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. We break. We come back. We will get into the Matheson v. Draisaitl and go back in time. Went into the archives, the audio archives, and put together a little something for everybody when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.